Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey, and welcome to episode 56 for Slam Fire Radio for the week of May 9th, 2014. That was take three. That's why I said it. I'm one of your hosts, Trevor. I had too much sugar for supper, Furlot.
And I'm Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy, who has made Trevor redo the intro four times now.
And I still didn't get it right.
It doesn't matter. It's good enough. Enough for Canada.
You're Matthew. I'll never work for the OPP because they said in court that warning shots are no longer allowed.
I know. Hey, what the heck?
Apparently, they don't listen to our show.
If they did, they'd definitely not allow warning shots.
We'd probably get a warning shot.
That's a good chance of that. So, as you can hear, Owen is not with us tonight. Apparently, again, he's off with his wife. Whatever.
I'm not saying nothing this time because I got to text last time and had some splaining to do.
Yeah, that was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, I'm glad you were there for that.
I pretty much instigated that.
I was quite sure that you instigated that, so I can hear it now. So, Owen, have you heard the intro of the show yet? You really should go listen to it.
We were building mags, and he was like, oh, no, I haven't listened to it. I said, you totally should. So he turns it on. He just started laughing, and I said, you know what you should do? You should give him grief over that. Pretend you're upset. And did he?
Oh, he did, indeed. And at the end, he just laughed it off and went, yeah, you're right, she's hot. Or I totally understand, or something like that.
That's funny.
I thought we were friends, like close friends. I'm like, dude, we are. I meant no disrespect. I'm sorry.
No, the thing is, you didn't say sorry at that time. You just said, no, you know, I was just joking around. And then he replies with, so you're not going to apologize?
Yeah, that's it. That's when I started to squirm, because Owen doesn't usually play like that, right?
He's no.
Straight and narrow and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
It's funny now.
Well, yeah, it wasn't funny then, I'm sure. No. Well, it was funny for me. It just wasn't funny for you.
Because you're a disturber.
I certainly am.
You're getting to be as bad as that Mulliver guy.
Oh, yeah. I take that with great pride, that compliment.
You should. Well, listen, why don't you jump into what you did this week with guns, and let's get this train wreck back...
back on track?
Yeah, or wreck it more. I don't know. Could go either way with us.
You never know.
Yeah. We're like the Simpsons, you know? It starts off one way, and next thing you know, it's like way in some opposite direction.
Okay.
You don't watch The Simpsons, do you?
It's been a long time.
All right.
So, what I did with guns this week, I did go to the range with Steven and Owen. Now, nobody here knows Steven because why would you? He's a Facebook friend of mine. He and my wife were, they worked together when they were younger. And anyway, he contacted me and said that his grandfather's revolver was in danger of being schmelted by the RCMP. They were telling him that they were going to take it away because it hasn't been properly registered and his PAL has expired several years ago, apparently. So, of course, they don't want this to happen. So Stephen contacted me and said, hey, you're a gun guy, right? Am I? And he asked me for some advice on how to go ahead and save his grandfather's revolver. So he has his non-restricted PAL, and he's challenging the test for his restricted so that he can take possession of the revolver and get it registered properly and thereby save the family heirloom. So anyway, he hasn't played with a semi-automatic handgun in 13 or 14 years, apparently. So he just wanted to kind of play with a gun. Just to kind of get an idea for the controls again. And I said, well, if we're going to get together and do that, why don't we go to the range where we can actually shoot it off some, too? And he was all on board for that. So Owen and I took him out to the Woodstock rifle range, And yeah, we shot off a bunch of ammo, had a lot of fun. We ran through Action Prove and did a bunch of practice test stuff with him, the practical stuff, just to make sure that he was ready for his practical, and he is. I'm sure he'll pass it.
Did you remind him about the little tricky bit about make sure you put your ATT in with the gun and
did
lock
we
it all?
Ever yeah, we actually did it just like you would find it. We just put a bunch of stuff out on the table and said, okay, lock it up like you're going home, or how would you store this at home, and we just had him do it without us prompting him, and he got everything right, so
perfect,
he's good to go. But anyway, so yeah, that was a lot of fun, just a lot of handgun shooting. We didn't bring any rifles, it was just handguns. So I had my Glock and my Beretta, and Owen had his Glock and his 1911, the GSG 22
Squirrel.
Cal. Yeah.
You said Beretta.
Yes.
Any follow-up on that shorter length restricted barrel you were supposed to get for that?
I've been in contact with Trigger Wholesale. Yeah, Trigger Wholesale. The owner, I think it's the owner anyway, Mark, and I won't say his last name just in case it isn't the owner. But anyway, I've been in contact with him, and he says that they should be coming like any time now. It should be very soon.
Okay.
They had an issue with fit and finish, apparently, when they first arrived, so they had to be sent back to get fixed. They didn't want to sell an inferior product, which kudos to them, fixing the issue before it goes out. So,
Yeah, because I tagged you in a picture on S&J Hardware's Facebook page, because they're doing something with those guns. They've got a bunch of pictures of those little Berettas on their Facebook page, so I don't know if they also got a bunch in, same time Trigger Wholesale Sports.
I think S&J are getting them from Trigger Wholesale.
Oh, okay, because they had a picture of one with the shorter barrel.
Yep. No, that was the very short barrel. That's a picture of the prohibited barrel that they have on that one.
Oh, that's the too short.
Yep. So, anyway, yeah, I actually did send them, I followed up on that post there and asked them if they were getting them in or if they had them in, just to have an idea to see if they'd actually received them yet, but I haven't heard back yet.
Okay.
So, but anyway, yeah, that's a nice little squirrel there. So, yeah, we shot the handguns, had a lot of fun with those, and then, of course, I've done my quote-unquote hunting all week. I've been out in the four-wheeler, just kind of tooling around and chasing down crows, and, oh, I scared up a rabbit today, well, a hare. Driving down the trail, and one jumped out right in front of me, and I didn't even get to run it over. It was too bad.
Oh, well, next time.
I'll swerve and hit the tree.
Whatever you got to do, as long as you get the money.
That's right. And then, this is a little unorthodox, but Owen and I did some force-on-force practice. We took our airsoft guns and made sure we had safety glasses on, and we went out to his backyard last Saturday, and he had a rubber knife, or I had the rubber knife. We switched back and forth. It was actually just a length of hose. We didn't actually have a rubber knife, but we had something that simulated it. And one of us would take the knife, and one of us would put the gun in either... Sir Owen had his Concealment Solutions holster
Black
on.
Black Mamba.
Black Mamba. There we go. Yep. And he would stand 21 or so feet away, and I would take the knife, and I would charge him, and he'd see if he could shoot me before I got there. And we tried it with his back turned. We tried it up close. We tried it through a door. We used his barn door. We did all kinds of stuff like that just to kind of get an idea, you know, what it's like to actually draw down on somebody and shoot them. So we shot each other quite close and quite vigorously at times. We have the welts to prove it. It was an eye-opener. It was a very interesting exercise, and it makes me realize that, you know, just because you have a gun on you doesn't mean that you're anywhere near fast enough to deploy it if somebody is really close. It's not about just having a gun. It's about situational awareness. If I wasn't paying attention, Owen would get to me before I got my gun out.
And here's why.
Uh-huh.
Action.
Reaction.
Is always faster than reaction.
That's right.
The guy with the knife is poised and ready. You have to interpret the threat that's coming at you, and then you have to switch into defense mode, get the gun out, draw down, apply the fundamentals, you know, and he's already coming. He's already committed, and he's on his way. And 21 feet, when you're caught off guard, and his weapon is already out and he's coming for you,
there's not
a lot of time there. To react to that distance.
Yeah, it could be done, especially if you had your head up and you saw it coming. And even if you didn't, we found that if we ran backwards, we backpedaled or stepped to the side, while the guy with the knife was coming, it did give you an extra couple of feet, and often we were able to get the gun out in time and get a shot off. So,
how many times did you guys actually successfully stab the other guy?
Oh, a lot of times.
That's scary, eh?
Yeah, very scary. So, anyway, it was a lot of fun. If you have a buddy that you trust with an airsoft gun, and you have an airsoft gun, and you want to try this out, I recommend it. You know, you're not hurting anybody else except for yourself with welts, and as long as you got shooting or safety glasses on, it's perfectly safe. Have some fun.
Did anybody get shot in the hand?
No, nobody got shot in the hand, which was odd. I ended up getting shot in the left arm, upper arm, a lot. As soon as I see a gun, I instinctively turn my body sideways. I didn't even think about it, but all of my welts were up the left side of my my left arm, and Owen's welts were all kind of center of mass
in the face.
We tried to intentionally not shoot each other in the face and neck.
See, this is why I can't play with you guys.
Because you would. Yeah. Headshot, yeah. Boom.
I'm the only guy I know that got into a fist fight playing paintball, but that's another story for another day.
It sounds like it is. So anyway, what did you get up to this week, Owen? Trevor.
There's a reason why I asked if anybody got shot in the hand.
Oh, that seems to be the most prevalent spot to get shot.
Well, when Officer Frank was telling me, Bill, when they do force-on-force with some munitions, when they see the assailant with the gun, which is a cop, right, with a gun, they instinctively shoot at the gun.
Yeah, at the threat.
And they almost train to try and overcome that. So the poor cop with the gun that's getting shot, and, they're wearing gloves because they were getting the skin just taken right off of their hands and their knuckles with those ammunition, little paint bullets.
Well, I can see that, because when you come around a corner and you're looking to see if that's a threat or not a threat, how do you identify if it's a threat or not? You have to look at the hands to see what it's holding. And if you are fixated on his hands to see what he's holding and you see a gun,
goes where the eyes are.
That gun goes where the eyes are, yep.
That's why when you're trying to speed up at IPSC, look to the next target that you want to shoot, and then the gun will go to where you're looking.
That's right. Now, see, Owen and I knew that the other person was a threat. And so we didn't have that sort of weapon fixation. Well, not necessarily. They might have unarmed people in those situations. I don't know.
They shoot the guy in the hands that's holding the gun.
Right.
So, but then again, you may not have been holding the knife down at the low ready, like, let's say, a bad guy with a gun may be.
Right. Yeah. No, we had the knife in a number of different positions.
Yeah. Mostly the stabby positions.
The stabby. Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
So what did you do?
Very little. I did get out and do some shooting, though, twice, two separate occasions. I brought my buddy's wife out. I was supposed to bring him and his friend out, and they were unavailable. And I was going to the range one day, and she was here with Christina and was like, I'd like to go to the range. So I'm like, whatever, let's go. So I put a picture of her grip on Facebook. I was so impressed with how she was able to master. Oh, I consider it mastered. But anyway, her grip with like 2 minutes of instruction, she held the gun here before we left to go to the range. And then I made a slight adjustment on her grip when we got to the range. And it was like what I consider textbook.
I saw the picture. Yeah, it looked very well done.
Not bad, huh?
Very good.
And then tactical response training, something like that. They're a Facebook friend of mine. They actually stole the picture or shared it onto their Facebook wall and said, if a new female shooter can learn this so quickly, why can't guys that have been shooting a gun for 15 years catch on to it?
Yeah.
I loved it. So, of course, I told her that, and now her ego's through the roof, and she keeps telling her husband, like, my buddy's name is Dean. Dean, doesn't matter what you do, you're never going to be as good as me. She's not realistic. Realistically, she don't think she'll ever get a pal or ever get a gun, but she's talking about it, so
right.
I'm going to do what I can to encourage her and not upset my friend.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so. But I actually got ahead of myself in some things and overlooked explaining to her how the sights worked.
Oh.
I explained point of aim and point of focus and how they're not the same thing. I got her stick out her finger and point it at the target and focus on your fingernail, and the target's blurry, but the fingernail is clear. I did all that to explain where point of focus needed to be. but I didn't actually explain how to use the sights.
Right, so she's just focusing on the front sight. Meanwhile, it's nowhere near the notch.
That's right. It's like a foot and a half above the notch, right? We shot for almost an hour before I drew her the picture of what the proper sight alignment should look like. And then she was like, oh, she was rocking out, man. It was lights out. It was awesome. She actually... Nice. I drew a picture of a star with a black marker and put it on a piece of paper and stuck it out there at 7 yards. And she got them all in the star, a couple of snake eyes in two different places. That's hanging on the fridge at home like,
nice.
Like something she did at art class in Tacoma to put on the fridge. Awesome. And then another guy, and I forgot to tell him that since he's a firefighter, he'll get a discount from police ordnance. But anyway, I'll have to, if he listens to the show, hey, guess what, Scott? You get a discount. So this dude joins the Rusty Goose Gun Club Facebook page and is like, you know, I'm from Airsoft, but I'd like to – I don't know if he said that on there, but that's his background. He's been playing with Airsoft guns, wanting to get into real firearms. And mm-hmm. I guess there's quite a group here in New Brunswick that they run around the woods and shoot each other with these Airsoft guns or something.
Interesting.
And, I don't know. Force on Force. You and Owen must know. I mean, I'm sure you guys are in Airsoft now. You probably play with these guys every weekend, right?
That's a nay-nay.
Oh, okay. But he's dead, by the way. John Binet, the comedian who said nay-nay, he's dead. But anyway,
oh, all right,
yeah,
then.
Too much sugar. So he posted on Facebook, you know, thanks for accepting me to your Facebook page. I'd really like to get out and check out your range someday. Oh, there's no time like the present. I'm going. And so he's from the same town I am. So I'm like, come on over. I got to go to the range with my chronograph to do some work with my open gun and Sal's open gun. So, yeah, just come on over and jump in with me and we'll go to the range. So he had never shot a handgun before, and he got to shoot Glock 17, CZ Shadows, two open guns, Glock 35. So he's been,
nice.
Yeah, he's still on Cloud 9. Now he's like Facebook, sending me messages on Facebook every day with questions.
Cool. Well, it's nice to see that enthusiasm in a new shooter.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So, other than that, getting ready for Black Badges, put together a large, very large order for Techwear USA. They're the ones that make the shooting shirts, like what we had for at the Nationals, the team's shirts that we had. Like 41 shirts are being ordered by my club.
Wow.
Yeah, silly.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and
it's like one for every club member or something, like in the pistol section or what?
Just about. That reminds me, I've got to add Camille to the list and change Lynn's size.
Right. Well, my size is medium. Just saying.
Okay, no problem. I'll put you on the list. I sent them. Tomorrow's the deadline, but yeah, no, it's pretty cool. We actually we got several sponsors, but Crystal Pistols, the ones that provided us with the awards for the Nationals last year.
Yep.
They came on as a major sponsor, so they're going to be on the front of the shirt.
Nice.
And anyway, they're going to be really nice shirts. They get your name, your division, the club logo on the front, the pistol section logo on the back. It's going to say Rusty Goose Gun Club, and then underneath it's going to say Home of the Summer Slam. And then there's another, like, second, like, let's say, gold-level sponsor on the front. Well, the silver-level sponsor's on the back, and that's a local restaurant. That's always our match restaurant.
Right.
And then... we got two bronze level sponsors, one on each arm.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's been really interesting working with their graphic designer to get things placed and designed and the colors right and stuff like that. It's quite a process.
I bet.
And then I put a jumbo safety on my 870. I didn't think there was anything else really left to do to the 870, but I found something else that could be changed. So
you might as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything original left on that thing?
Receiver. The barrel clamp that got lost between the seats of Jeff's truck was on the way, and because he stuffed it in an envelope, apparently Canada Post didn't get, you know, their pound of flesh, so they sent it back to him and said, you can't send this as an envelope. And
lovely.
Yeah, so a few more delays on that. I'm not really crazy. It's Van Comp. Is the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I'm having a hard time with is there's no red ring on the right side of the safety.
What is wrong with that?
I like that visual. I grew up with that. Red means dead.
Right.
And if I see the red, I know the gun is hot.
You could get some like red paint.
I'm gonna have to, yeah, because this is so psychological for me. Now it's very tactile though. The jumbo safety, you can feel it on your finger when the safety is on, and you can feel it even more. No, sorry, you can feel it a lot when the safety is on, and then you can even feel it when the safety is off.
Right.
Kind of. It doesn't interfere with your trigger finger, but definitely when you have the gun up and you're shooting, you can feel it on your trigger finger. It's there. You can feel it. You know it's there. You're conscious of it.
Yeah, the safety is behind the trigger guard on the 870.
Yeah, silly.
Yeah, that is
silly. Instead of in the front where it should be.
Yeah. So your 1911, they all have red on the safeties too?
No. They're either up or down. It's different.
Oh, it's different because this is either right or left, but those are up or down. I understand now.
I don't have 1911s. You that was mean a lot, but anyway. Yeah, and there's I don't know. I guess really accustomed to seeing that red. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Well, get some red paint. Splash her on. You'll be good.
We both know I probably won't. I'll just have to get over it.
You're just going to complain about it for a long time.
It's easier to complain about it for a long time and get over it than it is to actually
do something. Not for me.
So, that's it.
Cool.
That's it for me. Alrighty, let's jump into some upcoming events / news. The Slamfire Radio Flyer thing, contest, whatever, is still going on. And right now, you're losing and Mark is winning.
That's right. One entry so far. Thank you, Mark.
And he one entry. No, well, we got one guy who took a picture of it. And I think it was Nathan. And he's like, where should I put this?
So yeah, that doesn't count. It's got to be a picture of him posting it somewhere public.
I know. He's working on it. He asked where he should put it.
Okay.
I suggested the men's room.
Yep. And it went downhill from there.
It sure did. I started that. But Mark's been all over town posting it at City Hall and the library. So go over to our Facebook page and get inspired. Check out those pictures and see what a great job Mark is doing. And if you want Mark to come on the show with us, don't do anything. if you want your crack at coming on the show, get her done. Moving on to the 4th annual podcasting charity shoot, June 28th at the Rescue Gun Club. $25. We'd like to know if you're coming. Pretty please, because we need to know what food to buy. There is a Facebook event created. If you search Canadian Podcast Network Charity Shoot, you should find the event. If not, send me a message on Facebook and I will send you the link to that event. That's a great place for us to keep track of who's coming or not, so we know how much food to buy. If you're not on Facebook, just simply send us an email so we can keep track of the numbers, please. The Remington Versamax draw is still ongoing. Sold another three tickets today to a listener from New Brunswick. Thank you very much. You know who you are. This is a Remington Versamax semi-automatic 12-gauge shotgun chambered in 3.5-inch magnum, set up for 3-gun, extended charging handle, extended magazine tube, holds 5 rounds 3.5-inch or 7 rounds 2 3/4, total of 9 altogether. Or if you can come up with some 2.5-inch loads, you're going to have 10 rounds of 12-gauge Happy Time goodness. Yeah, get her done. $10 a ticket, 3 for 20, EMT, the Rescue Gun Club @gmail.com, and we will hook you up. Next is the Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course. That's coming up. It's in August. It's at the Rescue Gun Club. Tommy Nelson, $200. Let us know if you want in. I think we've got one space available. Rescue Gun Club Multi-Gun, 3rd annual, August 16th, 17th. If you're interested in that, send me a PM or a email or something. Pre-registration is required, $40. Let us know if you want in on that. Finally, Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic with Daniel Shaw, Master Instructor from the Marines. 2 spots left. That's in October. $200 if you want in. Let us know, because those 2 spots shall not last long. And then, finally, the Spring Swiss Arms Fork It Over fundraiser. Important to note, the date has changed. For more information on this, go to chrisandersonpresents.com and get the rest of the details there. All right, news. McClatchy.
Thanks. Thanks to Ed for sending this one in. Apparently, Ed does not like the Princess Bride.
No, he doesn't like men who quote the Princess Bride. That's what he doesn't like.
You keep using this word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
All right, then. You're not helping yourself.
All right. So, shooting victim friends are shocked by the cancellation of a 911 call. And this comes to us from MSN News. Family and friends of a weekend homicide victim, Rustam Vito Paklepan, were shocked that the Winnipeg police canceled a 911 call less than 4 minutes before the 23-year-old man was shot dead on Main Street. The call was canceled by someone internally at the Winnipeg Police Service. Chief Devin Clunas on Tuesday ordered an investigation as to why this happened and has put the staff involved on administrative leave. Paklepan's friends told CBC News that they believe if police responded to that call, the shooting outside the Opera nightclub might have been prevented and Paklepan would be alive today. Stefano Grand, a local business employee, said that security is a big issue and they're battling people's impressions of the downtown. He called the shooting outside the Opera an isolated incident, but said that it will only fuel the perception that downtown is unsafe.
I've said this before about Winnipeg. I've only been out there twice. There are 7-Elevens you go to, and there are 7-Elevens you don't go to.
Yeah. The article ends off here with, increased police foot patrols have helped improve the perception of safety during the day. Now Grand wants the same to be done for the night. It's okay that the safety actually hasn't changed as long as the perception is there.
Yeah, we want people to have the perception that it's safe during the day and at night.
Right, that
probably
way it's
need
easier.
More foot control at night.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier, and I was going to throw you in the bus here, man. Trevor said that the 911 call hadn't been canceled. The 911 call got this guy killed, and I came back with, well, the fact that he didn't have a gun for self defense is probably what got him killed. But
assuming that this guy would have been law-abiding and able to have a gun.
Right. See, that's the thing. They say this is not an isolated event, what was the wording there that it said? I can't find it now.
Essentially that this guy was perhaps known.
Right. Yeah. It was an isolated event, he says. So it was isolated. They were kind of expecting this. So this guy probably wasn't an upstanding citizen to begin with. However, it kind of shows that 911 may not be your best option.
That's right.
I mean, yes, you still call 911 if you're in trouble.
Yeah, because you call 911 because you can't carry a cop.
That's exactly it. If we could carry a gun, we could call 911 and stay alive.
Yeah. Then again, don't do dumb things in dumb places with dumb people. And downtown Winnipeg meets one of those criteria.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the dumb places, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At night, yeah. The wrong bar, yeah.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's hardcore. It's not for the faint of heart.
Indeed. Well, hey, we talked about it before. Our violent crime rate here in Canada is not as low as a lot of people think it is.
Yep.
We are in much more danger than we perceive. Now, that's not to say you should be all alarmist and paranoid every time you go out, but you should at least be aware of the fact, especially if you live in Winnipeg.
I used to hate on Calgary. Now it's Winnipeg. No, yep. It wasn't Calgary. It was just Alberta in general. I used to joke and say it wasn't a safe place. But
now New Brunswick isn't a safe place. I don't think there's a safe place in Canada, really.
Well, it's varying degrees of safety, I guess. Some places are certainly safer than others, but crazy happens where crazy happens. And the crazy thing about crazy is you don't know where crazy is going to happen.
That's exactly it.
So first aid kit in your car, fire extinguisher in your kitchen, and concealed carry on your belt.
That would be nice.
Would be nice. All right, beaten horse. What do you want to do now?
Well, I guess we should do the main topic.
I suppose.
Owen was setting it up, right? Owen, what's the main topic this week?
It's swords. Wooden swords. Role-playing games.
He's going to beat you.
There's another angry text message. No, you know what it is?
Let's talk about how 150-pound bears are trophy bears.
Oh, you're going to get cut.
150-pound bear is not a trophy.
Well, it depends on what kind of bear. If it's a teddy bear, it certainly is.
Touche. Yeah. Find me that in the Boone and Crockett. I'm gonna look up the minimum skull size for Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young and send it to him.
There you go.
Too much sugar. I have no filter.
Definitely. So our main topic this week is, in fact, Canadian gun myths.
Facts to fight the myth. No, wait, wrong. No, sorry, that's another show.
Trevor and I were talking about, and this is kind of an ongoing thing. You go to the gun store, you go to the range, and you just hear all kinds of stuff.
FUDs!
And usually it's wrong. And so we are probably preaching to the choir here when we go through these myths, and we have quite a few of them.
But you never know.
But you never know. And, I mean, this can also be aimed to those people who might be listening on the Reno Viola outdoor web radio. A lot of them are fishermen, and they may not just know what the gun control is in Canada, and they may think some of these things are true. And we're not going to be making fun of anybody who thinks these things. We're just doing this to kind of maybe educate and maybe at the same time entertain with a few anecdotes here and there.
I was around guns my whole life. As far back as I can remember, firearms have been in my home, and some of these I thought to be true because, although I was around firearms and used firearms, I was not necessarily exposed to Canadian gun culture, the group of individuals that are enthusiastic and informed.
That's the thing, eh?
I was in a little Canadian gun bubble.
Yep.
Had my Lee Enfield, my .22, and my single-shot shotgun, right?
As every good Canadian should.
Yeah. So, a lot of these, some of them I grew up thinking were true.
Yep.
So, now as we know is better.
And now let's tell everybody else, too.
So, I got the first one.
Go for it.
We don't need PALs anymore.
Yahoo!
I done heard the government done scrapped that registry thing. I don't need me a PAL.
That's what I get a lot. I hear that from a lot of people.
You know who I blame?
The media?
The government.
Yeah, they didn't really...
There was no rollout. There was no education program. You know, it's so simple. I know it would be expensive, but every firearms license holder is in a database somewhere with a mailing address. Why not inform them with a mass mail-out when there's something this big? They wasted billions on the registry. They could have wasted another million on a mail-out. Oh, by the way, folks, this is what's changed.
And this is what hasn't changed. Yeah.
Wow. Color me common sensed.
So we do, in fact, still need firearms licenses to legally possess and acquire firearms in Canada.
And ammunition.
So and just because
the entire components.
Nice. But. So just because the registry has fallen does not mean that gun control is dead in Canada. We still got lots of it. We just don't have to register non-restricted firearms anymore. That's the only change.
That's it. That's all. All right, you got the next one?
You must have a gun license to shoot a gun. I get that one a lot. In fact, when we took Steven out to the range last week, he said, well, I don't have my restricted. Is it okay that I shoot your handguns? Absolutely. You only need a firearms license to acquire and own, basically, to possess.
To borrow a gun, to go hunting.
You need to have a firearms license for that class of firearm. So you want to borrow somebody's restricted, you need to have a restricted firearms license.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Did you all know that there is a lending ATT? The time the CZ was transferred into your name so you could do the black badge?
Yep.
Not necessarily required. When Dave Copping in Ontario sent me the Grand Power to test and evaluate, he sent it to me on a lending ATT.
Interesting. So it stayed in his name, and it was just at your house until you were done with it and you sent it back.
Yep, and the ATT said as much.
Very good. That's cool. Good to know.
Yeah. So essentially, if you want to shoot somebody else's gun, the licensed firearm owner needs to be present and like in your immediate vicinity.
That's basically it. The firearms license remains in the care and control of the firearm. Just because you're the one holding it and shooting it, that's no problem because he's right there to make sure that you don't hurt yourself. Or she, right, of course. Sorry. Cool. Politically correct, boy, you.
Hey, we have female listeners.
We do. I know.
Speedy D, how's she going? Speedy D started that Canadian female gun owner's Facebook page.
Okay.
I suggested we get her on at some point, but like most things, that's as far as it went with me anyway.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. Everything must be double locked while being transported. So whether it's restricted or non-restricted, if you're going into the hunting grounds or to the gun range, there has to be a trigger lock on the gun, and the gun has to be inside a locked case.
Yeah, I actually heard that from an RCMP officer once.
Yeah.
I was, I won't say where I was, but I was at a gathering, and an off-duty RCMP officer was there, and a joke was made to the fact that I had guns at, you know, with me in the car, because people like to joke about me and guns whenever there's police around for some reason. They think it's hilarious. It really isn't, but whatever. And she's just like, whatever, as long as they're double locked, I don't care. And I, because we were in a public setting, I didn't argue. I just smiled and nodded and wandered off. Of course, they were just in the trunk, locked in a trunk. I mean, they didn't need to be double locked because they were non-restricted firearms.
What my experience has been is that the RCMP will tell you what they, in fact they would like the law to be when it comes to firearms, not what in fact the law is.
And here's the other thing. They are trained on all of the criminal code. And there are going to have to be some places where they take shortcuts. And it's easier for them to remember the maximum laws. You know, if everything's double locked, then everything's good. If it's not double locked, then I'm going to call it in.
It's like Officer... Sorry, I thought you were done. Sorry.
No, I'm done. Go.
Okay. It's like Officer Frank said that time. We know the laws that we work with the most.
That's it.
We very rarely, especially in this province, encounter issues around firearms. So we're not up on it because it's not part of our daily routine. You know,
right.
They know the petty, foolish day-to-day stuff, and they know some of the major stuff. They know the difference between, you know, assault and aggravated assault and those kinds of things because they run into those things more. And, of course, the Motor Vehicle Act.
Yeah, speeding but, over 25 and speeding under 25. They're probably really good at those ones.
So, yeah. I think of one guy in particular. Anyway. Yes, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
So here's the thing.
Tell us what the actual situation
is. Here's the correction here. Restricted firearms must be double locked while transporting. And as for the Canadian Criminal Code of Canada, the federal law, non-restricted firearms must simply be unloaded while being transported. No, it doesn't need to be cased. It doesn't need to be locked. It can be on the front seat with you. Now, here's where you run into issues, though. Provincial hunting laws vary from province to province. And, for instance, here in New Brunswick, all firearms must be cased unless you are in possession of a valid hunting license for the firearm that you have with you. Because, of course, we have silly caliber restrictions here as well. So, for me to take my .22 out hunting, I can just put that in the back seat and drive off to my hunting ground, get out, and go shooting. If it's not hunting season, I then have to have my gun cased. But like I said, that's a provincial law. The only other kind of segments or sections of that law are if you leave the vehicle unattended, there are certain steps you must take in order to make sure that the firearm's secure. So if you leave the vehicle unattended, it either needs to be locked in the trunk. If you can't lock it in the trunk, it needs to be locked in the car and out of sight. And if you can't lock the car, it needs to be at least out of sight. So those are the car unattended rules. So, yeah, you don't have to double lock everything. Only restricteds.
You can download, and it's a good idea to download this little pamphlet and keep it in your glove box, keep it in your gun case, keep it in your pistol case, your range bag, whatever. Keep it handy in case you do get stopped and the officer may think you're in violation of the law and he's going to do this. I'm doing this in good faith. I'm going to seize your stuff until I find out what's right and what's wrong, and then I'll give it back to you because I'm going to assume you're breaking the law for now until I find out you're not, and then I'll give you your property back. And that happens a lot. And so, squirrel. They took a guy's truckload of beer recently near Bathurst. They couldn't prove that he had the beer for illegal reasons, so they kept it until they could prove that he either had it for illegal reasons or didn't have it for illegal reasons.
Right.
But they took this truckload of beer in good faith.
Yep. No, and they'll do that with your firearms,
man,
too. It's the RCMP brochure, CFP 1238. You can download it as a PDF, print it off, and keep a couple copies with you everywhere you go. That's what I do.
Could save
you. Yeah, it could, because the police officer doesn't know, and you can give this to him and say, look, this was printed from your website, from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police website. These are the rules, so please let me go without harassing me.
But they leave themselves open for Mountie Law on the side of the road, because at the bottom it says, this is just a snippet of what it actually says in the Firearms Act.
But if you get a reasonable officer, hopefully, hopefully it'll at least give you that extra little bit of security, and maybe he'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
Very good. What's the next one?
You got the next one.
Oh, you can't have a gun uncased in a moving vehicle while hunting. And we did sort of just cover that. So those are hunting laws, not Canadian gun laws. So that varies from province to province. I can only tell you what it is in New Brunswick. Wherever you live, look up your rules. Make sure that you don't contravene them when you're out hunting.
Right. But here we can until hunting is over for the day.
That's right.
Or before hunting starts.
That's right.
Like, literally right now, I could get in my car and drive towards Matthews with my Thompson Center Venture Predator on the front seat, and I could be hunting coyotes along the Trans-Canada between my house and his house.
As you drive, yep.
And I've done it, as a matter of fact, with my XCR.
And here's the nice thing in New Brunswick, actually, and this is a little squirrel. In New Brunswick, we don't have a no hunting from the road.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't
stand on the yellow line if we want.
That's right. We can't shoot from the vehicle. Of course, as is the law in every province, I think. But a lot of provinces have the 30 meters or whatever from the center line. You must be that far away from the road before you discharge your firearm. Here in New Brunswick, we can, like Trevor said, stand right in the middle of the road and shoot something if something happens to be there and it's game. So
don't shoot. Nice. You know, use common sense.
But. Yeah. Well, it was funny. Somebody asked in a firearm safety course once to a ranger, and they said, are we allowed to shoot across the road? And he said, sure, just make sure you look both ways. So
nice.
We used to make fun of him for that, because at one point I thought that was actually illegal, but he was actually correct. So just look both ways.
Okay. Next we have, all guns must always be stored in a safe. That's correct. There's also same pamphlet that we talked about covers transportation and storage and display.
That's
tells
correct.
You how to display a firearm, how to store a firearm, how to transport a firearm. So, speaking of display, if Ridgeback Racks would ever start sending to Canada, I mean, I can import one by getting like Toby or somebody to send it to me. But
are those the ones that have the trigger lock built right into them?
Yeah.
So you just put the gun on the thing and lock the trigger lock, and it's supported.
Yep.
That would be nice.
And it's perfectly legal in Canada. I keep saying I'm going to take my Mossberg and put it up on the wall here in the man cave.
Absolutely. That'd be really nice.
Yep. So
you know, all you have to do is actually put a lock on your man cave door, and then it becomes a room specifically designed for the storage of firearms.
Well, no, it's not specifically designed. It would fall into the category of difficult to break into.
Okay, sure.
So now, if I replace that door or replace that lock and made this room difficult to break into, I could have my non-restricteds in the room unlocked.
That's it, and your restricteds would only need a trigger lock.
Right. If it was a room specifically designed, in other words, Fort Knox came and put a vault door on.
Right. If it was, if it was
windows, then my restricted wouldn't need trigger locks.
Right.
So, anyway, no, your firearms do not need to be kept in a safe. Non-restricteds need to be trigger locked. Restricteds need to be trigger locked and put inside either a case, a cabinet, or a safe. And if they're in a safe,
they don't need the trigger lock.
Right. And there's some question right now in Canada as to whether or not the stack-on cabinets are cabinets or safes. In Ontario, they were deemed to be safe. The definition of a safe by an Ontario court, whether it was Supreme Court or not, the case is about a year old now, it was ruled that anything made out of steel and has a lock on it will be called a safe.
Yeah, it would be nice to get that recognized across the country because, a lot of stack-on safes or cabinets, they're available very readily around here. So
shortly after that happened, I noticed that on Canadian Tire's website, they stopped calling them cabinets and started calling them safes.
Interesting.
And corporate office for Canadian Tire is in Ontario, so they may have thought, hey, we will sell more of these if we start calling them safes.
Yep.
But is Canadian Tire calling them a safe, or is Stack-On calling them a safe? Because Stack-On sells both products. They sell the metal cabinet, and they sell the actual safe, which is heavy walled and insulated and stuff like that. So, but anyway, yeah, you know, you can't burn this.
You can't. Actually, those ones I'm pretty sure you can.
Yes, these ones you sure can.
The next one we have here is you cannot store ammo and a gun together at any time, anywhere. And we just talked about safes, and this is one place where your restricted, for sure, can be stored in a safe with ammunition in that safe. Good to go. In fact, you can store a firearm. If you can store a firearm in the locked container, then you can store that ammunition in that same locked container perfectly legally.
Yep.
The rule reads something to the effect of ammunition must be stored separately or must be stored locked either in a locked container or locked with your firearm in that same container. So
take a pistol case, for example. Pistol goes in case with trigger lock. Magazine with ammunition goes next to pistol case. Close pistol case, put lock on it, you're legal.
And here's the cool thing about that is that's not only legal for transport or for storage, it's also legal for transportation.
Yep.
So you can legally transport your firearms with ammunition readily available to them. Of course you can. You're going to the range to shoot. Why would you lock up your ammo separately?
Remember, if you do get stopped and you are searched and the police officer finds that you have ammunition locked inside a pistol case and the pistol's locked and the case is locked and he says that's illegal, please don't say Matthew and Trevor told me I could. We're getting this from the RCMP's website. You need to refer him to there.
This is not
to be construed as legal advice.
That's exactly true.
We're not going to go to court and testify on your behalf.
Nope.
Nor will we testify against you.
But we will do everything we can to make sure we do give you accurate information.
Yeah.
Probably.
Most likely. I don't know. All right. What's the next thing we want to make up as we go? Hunter safety and firearm safety are the same thing. So here's where I get this. Trade shows or wherever I'm somewhere interacting with the public in a capacity of representing firearms or the club, people say, well, I took my hunter safety. Can I get my PAL? No, you can get a hunting license with hunter safety. You can get a firearms license with firearm safety. Now, here in New Brunswick, I don't know if this is recent or not, Matthew, but they've incorporated the firearm safety and the hunter safety into the same weekend so that you can get both as soon as you're done, because the majority of the people in New Brunswick taking the non-restricted firearm safety course are taking it so that they can then become hunters.
Right. Now, it's interesting you mentioned that. When I took my firearm safety, I actually took my hunter safety at the same time. It was actually the same weekend, just like you described. This was back in 96, though, so they changed it back, and then they changed it back again, apparently. But when Matt and Dan went to get they challenged their course, now I haven't seen the card yet, but Dan said that they gave him a conservation card, a card with a deer on it, I think he said. So that sounds like the conservation card that says you now have your hunter safety education. So
it sounds exactly like the conservation card I have in my wallet.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they may be giving those out even to people who simply challenge and pass the non-restricted firearm safety.
It's interesting because the firearm safety appears as a check on your. I have on my conservation card a B and an F.
Right, for bow and for hunt and for firearms.
Right, I don't have hunter education. I have firearm safety and bow hunter. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I have a conservation card, but no hunter safety course.
That's weird.
I have the B. I got the conservation card as a result of getting my bow hunter safety. I didn't need the hunter safety because I was born before 82. Anybody, when they changed the hunting laws, if you were born before 82, you didn't need to have the hunter safety.
Right.
Or if you were a first-time hunter, you did. But if you could produce a hunting license.
So you just simply keep your hunting license from last year.
I don't have to now. I have the card, but that's what we used to have to do before the card.
Yeah, mine. I have an F and an H on mine for firearms and for hunting. So, yeah, I didn't realize. I just figured the hunting would be automatically included. You've got the card. Obviously, you've got your hunter safety education, but apparently not. The H is there to show that you have your hunting. That's interesting.
Yep, I got a B and an F, so I can kill stuff with a bow or a firearm, but I can't hunt safely.
Right. The other option you can get on this card is a T, and that's for trapper education. Just sort of toss that out there for our New Brunswick listeners.
Yeah, so hunter safety is not what you need to get your PAL.
You need your firearm safety. That being said, get your hunter safety education anyway, because it's good information and everybody should be a hunter.
Yeah. There is actually some decent stuff there.
Yep. not bad.
You shouldn't have to talk about the ethics, but they do, and some people need it.
Some people do.
Okay. Right.
Next one. Bolt action rifles can only ever hold 5 rounds. And it's not only bolt action. People seem to think that firearms can only hold 5 rounds of ammunition. That's it. That's all. And they're getting that from sensor fire semi-automatic rifles and shotguns in Canada have a restriction of 5 rounds. And they're doing the same thing that the RCMP do in taking the most stringent law and applying it across the board.
Yeah, well, that's FUD's fault.
That is the most stringent law, and that's it. In fact, I had somebody tell me once that, and he was actually sort of true, but we were arguing it from different sides of a fence. He had his Lee Enfield, or I had my Lee Enfield, one or the other, and he said that's only supposed to have 5 rounds, except that it's allowed to have 10 because it's a Lee Enfield. And I said, what do you mean because it's a Lee Enfield? No, it's because it's not a semi-automatic firearm. Well, apparently the Lee Enfield is actually listed as exempt.
What else is listed as exempt?
The Garand.
I had no idea. I found this out this week because somebody, and whoever you are, if you're listening to the show, we had this conversation. Somebody asked me, like, what about the Garand? How is it internally restricted so it only holds 5? I'm like, geez.
It's not.
I shot one once and it had more than 5. How is that? Yeah, the Garand is an exemption.
Yep, it is.
And so if they have wood on them and they're semi-auto,
then it's okay. That's not actually true. Don't take this as actual advice.
Now, you've got listed here, bolt actions can only hold 5. When I grew up, it was 3.
Well, people always called it 3, huh? See, I've always heard shotguns can only hold 3.
Well, again, I think they were taking the shotgun waterfowl rule.
That's it.
And applying it to everything.
That's it, yep. So the federal waterfowl hunting laws state that shotguns being used in the pursuit of waterfowl.
Migratory
game, yep. They can only hold 3 rounds.
So that would, you got to say migratory and not waterfowl because it applies to woodcock.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yep. And doesn't apply to cormorants. Which are actually
cormorants
waterfowl.
In New Brunswick are listed in 2 places. Varmint. They're listed as a varmint, but then they're also listed on
something
migratory
else,
as well.
Yeah,
there's a discrepancy there in the guidebook that we get in New Brunswick. At least there used to be.
Interesting.
Because if they're listed as a varmint, we should be able to jump on a boat and go over to Heron Island and eradicate them.
Yep, and we can legally.
Yeah, well, why
with a varmint license? Yeah, well, you should. Let's do it.
All right.
I'll be on my way. Let's go. Wait. We better finish the show.
Oh.
I guess so.
Fine.
So anyway, shotguns. Now, again, this does vary province to province because in Ontario, it is actually true. All shotguns used for hunting must only hold 3 rounds of ammunition.
Seriously,
that's
even my pump-action gun hunting,
yep.
Wabbits or Partridge.
That's correct. If you're hunting in Ontario, as the law stood when I left 7 years ago or whatever it was, that's, you know, you could only hold 3 rounds. Because when I got to New Brunswick, somebody said, oh, you can have as many as you want in your pump action. It's only semi-autos that are limited to 5. I'm like, what? Seriously? So I actually cornered a conservation officer at the mall. And I was like, so I have a shotgun. How many shells can I put in? He says, as many as it'll fit. I said, well, it'll fit 8. He goes, well, then put in 8. Really? Yeah. I'm like, woohoo. So anyway, it's only semi-auto shotguns that have a capacity of 5. And we actually talked a little bit earlier about how you can get around that by it's 5 of the shell, the biggest shell that it's listed for.
Yeah. If it's chambered for 3.5, it's 5 3.5.
That's it.
So
you can get around that a little bit. Shotguns hold as many as you want unless it's semi. In that case, it's 5 only. And rifles, if it's a center fire semi-automatic, it can only hold 5. If it's anything else, it can hold as many as you can fit in it. So that being said, a semi-automatic rim fire, many as you want. Or a bolt action, anything, as many as you want. A pump action, anything, as many as you want.
Unless
that pump action is using an AR-15 mag, then yeah, it's only 5.
Unless you put in an LAR mag.
Right.
It's only 5 if you're using an AR mag in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now, so speaking of ARs, yeah.
Yeah. What about ARs?
It's your turn.
Oh. This next one, it comes from competition shooters. Semi-automatic shotguns have no capacity limit. So guys will show up to a three-gun match with a semi-auto shotgun, and they will exceed the five-round limit because they think it's a shotgun. They think the five-round rule applies to rifles. It's not. The five-round rule applies to center-fire long guns.
That's it.
Not center-fire rifles, not center-fire shotguns. Any semi-automatic center-fire long gun.
Yep, and we actually had that at our club shooting trap. One of the guys got, I think it was a Benelli or something or other, and he had a great big extended mag, and he just, I think he could put 12 in it. And he was just sitting there shooting away, and there's police officers who come shoot with us, and they were completely fine with this. And so I kind of talked to him discreetly and said, you know that that's illegal, right? What are you talking about? That's a center-fire semi-automatic firearm. It's only allowed to hold five rounds. No, it's a shotgun. Look it up, man.
And the cops there didn't care because they didn't know.
They didn't know, yeah. They were under the same impression.
Yeah, I was at our range recently with some police officers, and I didn't know they were police officers when I told them to start obeying the range rules. You're pointing your gun down range, sir, while there's somebody down there changing targets? Yeah, but I'm not shooting.
Yeah.
I realize that, but you're not allowed to touch your firearm while somebody's ahead of the firing line.
That's okay.
Found out later he was a cop.
Hey, even cops make mistakes sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, next one. It's illegal to own handguns and AR-15 type rifles in Canada.
Get this all the time as well at the... at the trade shows, every 3 years in a row, Promotion Plus, I've been asked, are those guns real?
No. Yes, they are.
We're
that's
airsoft
legal?
Group.
Yeah. No, it's legal. Yep. Yeah. No problems.
Yeah. My other favorite question, number one, are they real? And my second most favorite question is, aren't those illegal?
Yep.
Yes, they are.
Yes,
they are. I'm just waiting to be arrested. Please, call a cop. What do you say that? How do you turn the sarcasm off when
it's hard
begging?
See, I simply wouldn't. I don't think I could. It'd be, yes, they are illegal, actually. Could you not tell anybody about this, please? If you could just kind of wander off down the aisle, just pretend we didn't have this conversation.
Yeah.
Don't point people into the direction of my booth, please. This public booth in the middle of a big public venue? Yeah, no, these are illegal.
Good job. You're coming to work the booth with me next year.
So, yes, no, it is absolutely legal to own handguns and AR-type rifles.
If all firearms ownership in Canada was made illegal in 1995.
Yeah, I was going to finish that off with if you have a valid firearms license.
It was funnier my way.
It really was. All right, next one.
It's legal to carry a gun in Canada.
Well, actually,
illegal to carry a handgun in Canada.
The myth is it's illegal to carry a handgun in Canada.
Yeah. You can't carry a handgun in Canada.
But you can.
But you can.
Yeah. If you know the right people, or if you're a trapper, or if you work in a remote wilderness area where you need both hands to do your job.
If you're a Suncor employee from now on, you better.
You really should. That's horrible. There was a bear attack recently, and a Suncor employee was killed.
Yep,
Black Bear
killed him up in Fort Mac.
Yep. You know, you're out in the woods. You're out in their territory. Have a gun. Seriously. Anyway, so yeah, we've actually had, who was it? Jeff Atkinson was on, and he talked to us about his wilderness authorization to carry permit. He carries a handgun out while he works in the woods. So yeah, you absolutely can carry handguns in Canada. It's just really hard to do so. You got to work for the right people, know the right people, and fill out the right paperwork.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes down to, yeah, you got to know the right people.
Yeah.
But and a wilderness carry is one thing, but to get a concealed carry, apparently they're out there.
Yep, you really got to know the right people for that. They are definitely shall or may issues here, and it's more like they may not issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to know. I don't want to know who they are. It's none of my business, but I would love to know how many there are concealed carry.
Yep. So would I.
I just wonder if there's a right to information case there.
I believe that information is actually out there somewhere. I have seen it recently. I don't remember what the numbers were though. So yes, you can get that information. You just have to Google it or look hard or whatever. It is out there somewhere.
Cool.
Yep.
Hey, did I tell you I sent a email to the CFO's office about becoming a restricted firearms instructor?
You did, and they're not looking right now.
Yeah, apparently that seems to be the same story across Canada.
Yeah.
Send us a resume, but we're currently not recruiting. People are waiting months to take a course, but they're not recruiting.
Yeah.
Well, it's a volunteer thing. It's not even like they have to pay us.
Yeah, the
and they make money. What's wrong with making money?
I don't know. Some people are, with their tinfoil hats on too tight, say this is another facet of the gun control.
Yep.
You know, you restrict the ammunition and you restrict the way people get their course. And if you can restrict that, fewer people will get their license, and then that's a kind of a backdoor gun control.
It is. You're absolutely right because we've said countless times we need the numbers. Get your license. The more licensed firearm owners there are in Canada, the more we can lobby for rights and freedoms. The more of us there are, the better. So they in turn go,
No.
We can fix that.
Yeah. Yep. All right, next one. Pistol grips make rifles or shotguns restricted.
No, the length of the firearm makes it restricted.
Unless it's listed.
Yeah. The overall length is what's at play here, kids.
Yep. So here's the thing. If the firearm is not listed on the restricted or prohibited list, and yes, Canada has a list of firearms that are either restricted or prohibited by name, and they did that by flipping through a book and pointing out the scary-looking ones and saying these are restricted and these are prohibited.
And then they get an FRT number.
Yeah. So if it's not one of those, restricted firearms are all those less than 660 millimeters, which is 26 inches, unless it's semi-automatic, in which case it must also have an 18.5-inch barrel if it's a center fire. If it's a rim fire, that doesn't apply. So lots of funky rules there. Try to sort that out. But it's all based on the length of the firearm and the length of the barrel that determines it if it's restricted or prohibited or non-restricted.
Before we go on to the next one, there's one here that we missed. Bullpups are illegal.
Yes. Bullpup stocks are illegal. Bullpup firearms are not. That was little poorly written law that allowed us to get some actual bullpups that aren't just stocks into Canada, which are completely legal.
So you're telling me that I can buy a bullpup, but I can't convert a gun into a bullpup?
You got it.
How does that make sense, Matthew?
It doesn't make sense, Trevor.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yep.
So I could buy a... what's the P90? Can we get P90s?
I think that's a prohibited by name.
Okay, what about FNS 2000?
Again, I think that's a prohibited by name.
Okay.
If they're not, they're just very rare, and I've never seen one.
Okay. So I can have a 1022, but I can't put a 1022 in the plastic stock that makes it look like a PS90.
That's it.
But it's the same gun.
It's the same gun. Yep. And you can own a Tavor. You can own, well, obviously you do know because you own one. You can own the Type 97. Those are legal. It's because the bullpup configuration is built into the receiver of the firearm. When they wrote the law, they said all bullpup stocks that, you know, allow the ammunition to be fed into the action either behind the trigger are prohibited. They said stocks. They didn't say firearms.
So my AR-15 with the 18.5-inch barrel is restricted because it's an AR-15, but my T-97, which is actually shorter than my AR with a 14-inch barrel,
non-restricted.
Is non-restricted.
That's right, because it has a longer than 18.5-inch barrel, and the overall length is more than 26 inches, and that's it. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like half the size of my STI AR, but
yeah.
Same magazine, same bullet, but...
It doesn't make any sense. But it's their way of controlling us.
I wonder if they just look at it and go, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this is just, yeah.
No, they don't. They like, I'm sure they like it. They're like, ha-ha, squirm. So then we get confused. We break the law inadvertently, and then we go to jail for breaking the law we didn't even intend to.
Ignorant of the law is no excuse.
Yeah, it's true. But again, it's another kind of backdoor form of gun control, if you ask me.
That's like the reclassification of the Swiss Arms and the CZ-858. Are they going to send a letter out? Because they're both non-restricted, because they, in theory, don't know who has them, they're creating criminals. And
who don't even know it.
Right, but the what they will say is, ignorance is no defense.
Yep.
You can't tell me you didn't know and expect me to allow that to stand in court as a defense. Not knowing the law is not an excuse for breaking the law, which makes no sense. So they have everybody's everybody with a firearm is licensed. They have their address.
Again, they should be telling people these things because, like you said, these are non-restricted firearms. They're not registered. They can't just send out a letter to those who have them.
Nope. So they should send a letter to everyone informing them.
Before,
you know what they should do? They should send a letter to everyone and say, if you have a Swiss Arms, we're going to give you between this date and this date to report to your local RCMP with your gun to have it verified. If we deem that it's a converted auto, you're losing it. I'm sorry. Go after your dealer. He never should have sold you a converted auto. If we deem that it is, in fact, the non-restricted Swiss Arms classic green rifle that always is and always will be and always was non-restricted, we're going to send you home on your way. Keep your gun. But no, let's not do that.
No.
Let's take them all.
Yep.
How hard would it be to set this program up? Boy, when they wanted to make sure that we all had gun licenses,
they set that up in a hurry.
And they had kiosks set up.
Yep.
I mean, go to your nearest RCMP station, or even if it was one RCMP station for the whole province of New Brunswick, because we're really not that big, and they give us 2 weeks to get there. There'll be a verifier on hand to check over your Swiss Arms. If it turns out to be a SIG converted receiver, you're going to lose it. If it turns out to be a non-restricted Swiss Arms, like was supposed to be imported in the first place, you're good to go.
Yeah, but I think what the issue here is they're saying that all of them are actually converted autos.
They're saying that, but that's not true. That's their excuse.
Yeah.
The reason why the store in Calgary started this was because he could tell the difference between the actual converted auto, and which was the SIG 550, I think it was.
Right.
And the actual Swiss Arms. There was
which
enough
was the SIG 540.
540. So there was enough noticeable difference that this dealer knew it wasn't the right rifle.
Yep.
And you can argue all day as to whether he did the right thing or not. I mean, he followed the law, so yeah, he did the right thing. He put a video out on YouTube explaining why he did what he did. He got the wrong rifle. He got a rifle he wasn't supposed to have and reported it. And as a result, everybody everywhere is losing their Swiss Arms. But they don't. They're not even making any attempt to work with these people.
No, well, that's not their job, right? And they don't care. That's the problem. So that's why we're taking them to court. So we'll see them there.
Exactly.
All right, let's finish these up because we're getting a little long in the tooth here, and we got to get through the email section.
It's illegal to cut or shorten a barrel.
Not true. You can absolutely shorten or cut any barrel so long as it doesn't go below 18 inches. If it's a semi-automatic, the number is 18 and a half inches. So I've actually cut several of my barrels down to shorten them to make them more wieldy while I'm out in the woods, and it's absolutely legal. Just don't go below the magic numbers, 18 and a half for semi-autos and 18 inches for non-semi-autos.
So that being said, just like the bullpup argument, I can buy a 14-inch barrel for my 870, but I can't cut a barrel down to 14 inches?
Again, you're absolutely correct. You can, you know, the Ruger 10/22 is another perfect example. You can get barrels as short as 8.5 inches, I think, for the Ruger 10/22. That's perfectly legal to buy one from the factory and install it. If you cut your barrel down below the 18 inches on your Ruger 10/22, you will be contravening the Firearms Act.
So unless they catch me cutting it.
Well, no, here's the thing, because they know which companies make them, and those companies do stamp their barrels, so they know.
Oh, yeah, well, you're right. It'll say, okay, cool. I was wondering how they didn't throw people in jail for that.
Yep.
Okay, get the next one?
Next one is, there is such thing as restricted ammunition.
Well, yeah.
Nah.
That. Armor
there is
piercing, hollow points.
There is such thing as prohibited ammunition, and that's ammunition that is a flechette. That's a little dart that comes out of a shotgun shell. It's any ammunition that is deemed incendiary, so those would be tracer rounds. It's any ammunition that's designed to penetrate body armor. Those are examples of prohibited ammunition. There's no such thing as restricted ammo, though. Handgun ammo isn't restricted ammo. I can list probably 5 or 6 carbines that are non-restricted that shoot handgun, what would be known as traditionally handgun ammunition. It's perfectly legal to hunt with those, perfectly legal to buy those with a regular PAL.
This probably started when a couple of stores didn't want to sell you handgun ammo unless you had a restricted classification on your license.
Right.
Knowing that there are things like the Kel-Tec Sub 2000.
JR Carbine.
The JR Carbine, yeah.
Yeah, the Chris. All kinds of stuff.
Hollow ammunition is illegal.
Yeah, hollow point ammo. That stuff's illegal, don't you know?
In New Jersey,
It is, actually.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of places where it actually is illegal, but here in Canada, it is not. Hollow point ammunition is perfectly legal. Otherwise, how would you explain hunting ammo? Like 90% of hunting ammo is hollow point. Of course it's hollow point. It's designed to expand when you shoot an animal with it.
Yep.
It's silly to think that it would be illegal. The other one I get a lot is the ballistic tip ammunition's illegal. The nylon tip bullets are illegal because they're supposed to go through body armor. That's not true. It's plastic. It doesn't go through. It's steel that goes through body armor. People are silly. That's okay.
Uninformed.
Uninformed, yep. The last one here about ammunition is full metal jacket ammo is illegal. So it's funny. You get the gamut here. Hollow point ammo is illegal and full metal jacket ammo is illegal. All right, so what's left? Exposed lead. That's all I got?
Yep. Lead round nose.
Lead round nose is the only ammo illegal in Canada.
Musket balls.
So anyhow, that's kind of a wrap-up of the ammo and some of our gun stuff. And the last one here, this is a good one.
We don't have anything like the NRA up here in Canada.
Yes, we do.
We have
the NFA and the CSSA, and we'll talk more about those in just a little bit.
But first, let's jump into listener feedback.
Let's.
All right. Yeah, you. I'll take Ross's.
All right.
So Ross says, kids, there is a spring bear hunt in Quebec this year. It happens on an irregular basis, but historically, the bears go down. This year will be no different, I expect. Go Habs, go! What? Ross, hockey sucks. We all know it. The only thing Boston stronger is their spring stench. That's what he wrote. The only thing Boston stronger is their spring stench.
That's okay.
Hey, I'm pretty sure that there's something missing in that sentence.
It doesn't matter. Carry on. Own it.
Spring snow goose hunting is in Saskatchewan. Well, it's a hoot. Videos out soon. We got 50 in one day. Yeah, nice. I saw some pictures. That's amazing. Yeah. Trevor, do you have any information on sending firearms out of Canada to the U.S. for gunsmithing? I do. There's export papers that you can find out about, and it has to be sent to an FFL. You can't send it to your buddy. Any of you have any experience doing it? No, not personally. Want to send a pistol to the U.S. for a bit of work? But not sure how ITAR and the CFC would view it. So again, it is legal. It can be done, but you have to send it to an FFL. Matt, you do realize it's a 10-hour drive from Smithers, BC to Grand Prairie, Alberta, right?
I do not.
Just saying, if you could make it to southern Alberta, we can arrange some for some shooting.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can. But, it turns out I don't think we're actually going to Worsley. We're actually going to be flying out of Smithers, into Smithers and out of Smithers into the hunt camp. So it's in and out one spot.
It's too bad you're missing out.
Yeah.
These are the guys, you know, him and Jeff Reese are the ones that took me to the Calgary Shooting Center. And then I hung out with them and Jeff Jason Philp at the gun show. And
maybe I'll make an effort. Maybe I'll be able to free up the schedule. If I can, Ross, I will let you know. And hopefully we can hook up. That would be really cool.
Yeah, you would enjoy it. The word on the street, as per Christopher Walken in The Suicide Kings, I love that movie.
Never seen it.
Oh, dude, you have to see The Suicide Kings.
Yes, sir.
No, I ain't kidding. You can always trust the word on the street. CZ, Swiss Arms issues should be resolved by the end of May. Not holding my breath, but hopeful.
It's almost the end of May now.
We're almost halfway through it.
Yeah.
As it snowed again, going to take a wander in the woods looking for bears in a couple of weeks. Might tune in on gophers next weekend. Gophers!
Nice.
To your American listeners, I understand that Hillary Clinton came out in favor of restricting Second Amendment rights. Odd, isn't it, that she said this on the same day Monica Lewinsky emerged from the shadows? Don't have Owen read this. As Rossinator part messes them up. Best regards, Ross in Calgary. Well, I didn't do much better with it there, Ross, but the only thing Boston stronger is their stench.
Close enough.
He's a Habs fan because he's from the Quebec province, and obviously he's saying that Boston stinks. I don't know.
Okay, then.
Yeah. So, and the next one also comes from Calgary.
This is from Jason.
This is not a letter to us, but but he sent us the letter that he sent to the Canadian Conservatives. So,
and he writes, it's Jason Philp. He wrote to them. He says, please know that every email soliciting funds is offensive. So they obviously sent him an email asking for money, as they normally do. The CPC has sanctioned the confiscation of private property no less than 12,000 times from one identifiable group, the Firearms Owners of Canada. By signing those infamous orders in council, Minister Blaney has obligated the taxpayers to cover a $4 billion invoice and subject those 12,000 citizens to 36,000 years of incarceration. For as long as C-68 stands, you will not see another dime from my family. I am firmly undecided as a voter, but my support is easy to get. Rescind the OIC, the order in council, that prohibited the Swiss Arms family of rifles. Return the 858 rifles to their unrestricted status. Repeal C-68 and all provisions that criminalize civilian possession of firearms. Enshrine property rights in our Constitution. You have Quebec now. What's to lose? Kind regards, Jason Philp.
Nice.
That is a strongly worded letter, and I hope there are lots of those going to the Conservatives because they need to know.
I had something similar. They were sending me once a week, dear friend, we need da-da-da-da, same thing. And I would just reply to it with one of these kind of letters, nowhere yep. near as eloquent as Jason's. They never replied back. They never said, oh, sorry, we'll pass your concerns along or nothing. You're not giving us money, we're not replying.
Yep.
So this next one comes to us from Mark, and he says, hi, guys. I wonder if you ever thought of having an IPSC stage-making contest. Everyone has their own view on things, and I'm sure you would get some interesting stages and maybe even some good ideas to use. Enclosed is my first attempt at a stage and maybe an early entry. See, I'm gaming this like I should. See, I'm gaming this like I should a real stage. Slam fire stage description. Start seated with hands on keyboard and gun unloaded. Sorry, Pat. He says sorry, Pat, because he actually sent this into Action Shooting Radio, but it involved the host from Slam Fire Radio, and it was intended as perhaps a stage to be used at the charity shoot. So I'm reading it over here. And Pat hates unloaded starts, so that's why he said sorry, Pat.
Gotcha.
In the first section, you see Trevor holding two glasses of your finest single malt scotch. Really, Trevor? Two glasses? Put one shot in each glass and two in Trevor. Then two in the bottle on the right since Trevor desecrated it.
Harsh.
Yeah. You then hear the clanging of steel outside, so you run down the hall and look out the window to see Owen's minions, two poppers. Shoot those, and Owen and his squire start ducking in and out of cover, shield or no shield. Two shots should do the trick. Next, you hear a warning shot from outside and rush to your front door. Open it, and you see various animals. Seven mini poppers, one popper. That Matthew can't seem to see. Shoot the animals for Matthew, and when you shoot the biggest one, Matthew starts turning around, descending, turning target like a drop turner,
mm-hmm.
wondering what's going on, and then two in Matthew to end the stage. Minimum shots, 22. Hope you like it, Mark Price.
Love it.
He attached a photo of this stage, and he did it in some kind of computer 3D program.
Uh-huh.
I followed up with him, and I asked him the name of the software that he did it in, and he sent me the link, but of course, it wouldn't open from school, so I'll have to check it out. It looks like a really neat program, and he gave me a bit of a description of it. So the guy's never shot an IPSC match, and he designed a heck of a stage. He gave us a funny description, but if you see this stage, Matthew, you look at the picture, it's legit. Well laid out stage.
That's hilarious.
It really is. I need to check and see if he followed the no more than 9 rounds from anyone shooting position, but I don't think he did. So
that would be kind of fun.
If he didn't, it could very well appear at the charity shoot. Just
yeah, so. Yeah, it's true. It's not a sanctioned event, so we could shoot at
Buddy
quote
wants,
unquote people.
Like two into Trevor, two into Owen,
two into Matthew.
Yeah.
I love the, you hear a warning shot from outside.
Yeah.
You hear clanging steel.
Put two into the bottle on the right since Trevor desecrated it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Two glasses of your finest single malt scotch. Really, Trevor? Two glasses? All right. Best iTunes review. You want to grab that?
Sure. This one was from Tywa74.
T T-Wiz.
All right. He says, despite their East Coast accents, this is a great podcast to listen to. I'm going to go ahead and correct him and say, because of their East Coast accents, this is a great podcast to listen
what
to.
Well,
yeah, I know, eh? Lots of good info and even better banter between the hosts.
You take that back.
I will do my best. So, yeah, we're still getting iTunes reviews, and we love them. So please head over to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating if we deserve it, which of course we do because, hello.
Some people think we do. We're still right there on the front of what's hot.
Yeah.
We're like one podcast away from Steve Austin's podcast.
And it does, you know, climb and descend throughout the week. But, it's kind of nice to see us staying kind of close to the top on iTunes. I mean, it just really helps our exposure, and it helps more people tune in and, you know, grow the community. So
right.
Thank you to everyone who has it. It's you know, absolutely thrilling to be able to see a new one pop in and go and read it and have a laugh or a chuckle over it. And, you know, it really makes my day whenever I read them anyway. So thank you very much. And if you're so inclined.
My day because I generally get made fun of.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You usually cry yourself to sleep.
I'm a big pillow.
And you head down
in front. Oh, what you gonna do? Climb himself to sleep on his huge pillow?
That's hilarious. We got to get 10X on again to do his Scottish accent for us. He's really good at a Scottish accent, isn't he?
It's almost genuine.
It's as if he really knows how to speak Scottish.
He's coming to the charity shoot.
Yes, he is. Who else is coming to the charity shoot?
Thomas Donnelly. He confirmed that he's coming.
Sweet.
He's planning on kicking your ass in the Ipswich match.
Good for him. I'm looking forward to that.
Owen's ass and trap.
Is he going to use his 22 again in the Ipswich event? Because if he
oh
does,
my god, if he brings that compensated 22 with the red dot, I will scream. I know
we did say.
I know I said that people could shoot it with a 22, but there's no stinking way it applies to him. It applies to people that, like, that's all they
only
own,
have a 22. Yeah.
Only, yeah. Yeah. So I know he's not going to sell all of his guns just so he can claim that he only has a 22.
Well, he might transfer them.
No,
transfer them to Terry.
And not then, yeah. Man. Anyway, who else? There's 18 people from like out of town, mostly on the Facebook event page that say they're coming. I guess some Steve guys coming.
Steve Lee, yes, I've been speaking with him recently. In fact, he might actually have a new song by the time he gets here.
Oh, I did actually request a whole album.
You did, but there's I'm gonna leave it kind of secretive for now because it's not confirmed yet, but once I get confirmation that he's got the tune and the lyrics sorted, there may be not. I don't think we actually mentioned it on the show, so I think I am good at being secretive still. But if I did actually mention it on the show earlier, then this is all kind of fake, but whatever.
You did not.
Okay, good.
Last time he sang a song that he dedicated to me at the party. I don't know if he has one that'll be appropriate for this time.
I don't know either. He could do Hunt and Fool for you if you wanted.
Yeah, he cannot sing the other one now in front of Christina.
It would have to be Ipswich Fool, though, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of
yeah,
Hunt and Fool, because that's all right, though.
All right. So let's get into shout-outs and goodbyes. Do you have any?
I'd like to just send a shout-out to Steven. He said he was going to give the show a listen. This is the guy we took to the range.
Hi, Steven.
So, Steven, welcome to the show if you are listening, and it was really fun shooting with you. He wants to get into varmint hunting.
Oh, excellent.
He does varmint hunt now, but he just has a 22, and he wants a higher-powered 22.
Savage so Axis.
That's what I recommended. He wants something inexpensive and accurate.
Savage Axis.
I recommended a Savage Axis in 223, and I said next time I was back down that way, I would bring it with me, and we'd go back out to the range and throw some lead downrange again. So
and then after you upgrade the optic, get a Boyd's stock for it.
You could do that, yep, if you wanted to spend some more money on it.
And you'll still be hundreds less than the next one up the chain. You can get that Boyd's stock out of the States for $99.
Yep. So, I like my stock. I mean, it's not a bench rest stock.
No, it's a lightweight.
It's not. Flimsy. It's lightweight. It is a little flimsy, but only if you're benching it. If you're shooting it offhand, it's not flimsy at all. I can't flex it while I bring it up to my, you know, bring it up to bear. Like, if I'm shouldering the rifle to aim, I'm not flexing the gun. It's when I'm on the bench and I'm putting pressure on it to make sure the gun stays stable. That's when the gun flexes. So that's not an issue for hunting.
Mm.
The Boyd stock, I'm worried it would just be too heavy. And you know me, I like my guns light. I got my little 22 arms, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want Steven to be the guinea pig, that's all.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Steven, you got to get this Boyd stock.
And then give us a review.
Right. And definitely.
If you like it and we like your review, maybe we'll get one.
Sure.
So, be the guinea pig, Steven. Be the guinea pig. I have no shout-outs.
Oh. Owen, do you have any shout-outs? Oh,
no, right. I don't.
To my wife, who I blew you guys off for again.
Yeah,
except this time he stayed away.
He's actually out playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Probably, yeah. LARPing with his foam swords.
Yeah, if you wear his undershirt, you'll get up 3 strength and up plus 3 stamina. and you would get something. What did you say? Minus 10 chicks dig it or something?
Yeah, probably something like that.
That was one of our funnier moments. All right. Are we done yet?
I think so.
Oh, no, you
all, almost. Okay. You got to finish us off here.
All right. I'll finish us off.
Put a bullet in this horse, boy. Strangle it down.
But before you do that, be sure to join one or both of Canada's National Firearms Associations, because we do have a version of the NRA up here. They need to become household names. I've said it 1,000 times. The only way they're going to do that is if you join and get a shirt and get a decal and
decal.
Get a coffee mug.
Decal.
Lever. Seriously, if you're a gun owner and you're not a member of one or both of these associations,
change it. Change that status fast. Get it. It's not expensive.
No. And the NRA is a household name. There are more Canadians that are aware of the NRA than there are that are aware of the NFA and the CSSA, and that is pathetic. We're inundated with American media, and that's why. And any press is good press, and the NRA gets press. We need to grassroot it. We need to social media it. We need to wear the T-shirts. We need to wear the hats. We need to put the decals on our car. Just get the word out. Become a member. Be a proud member. Be an ambassador for your sport. Spread the word. And let's get things changed. Be sure to get over to the Gun Owners of Canada website, where we have a forum over there where we post the show and nobody ever comments on it. I'm not sure why we do it. That aside, that's a great website. The guys who run it are awesome. They're very supportive of what we do over here in podcasting land, and they have an awesome giveaway every month. So sign up. Recommend somebody else sign up. You could win a prize. It's awesome.
Not only could you win a prize, you can actually go to our website and click the Win a Tavor link, and you might win a bullpup rifle.
See what I'm saying? Okay, 982 likes on Facebook. We somehow fell behind the Polite Society podcast. We're in some kind of peeing contest with them over Facebook likes, so go on, like them and like us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out all of the great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network as well as the Crusader Podcast Network. Tons of great material on each. Crusader Podcast especially has both American and Canadian pro-gun podcasts. Reno Viola, if you're into the outdoors, you will find something out there over there that will suit your needs and your interests. So
they got everything from aviation to scuba diving, and that literally covers the gamut of outdoors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Get it? Because like, up in the sky and like below the water. See what I did there?
I did. But
no, I'm going to explain it again just in case you didn't get it.
Well, just Jason Philp could be listening, so you had to go there.
I kind of did, yeah. We're going to get an angry email.
Okay, take us out.
Good night, Seattle, and good mental health.
I'm Sideshow Bob?
Close enough.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.